So, anyone else super curious how we got to the point that Pierre Poilievre is making his own documentary and getting well over 4 million views on Twitter alone? Well, I know I am. Since the creation of social media, the Conservative Party has trailed the other parties in communicating. Now, Pierre Poilievre has transformed himself into the biggest news outlet in Canada. How did we get here? Is any of this real? I want to know, and I'm sure you do as well. So I'm excited to sit down with one of the top political digital strategists in the country, Cole Hogan, who is going to help me understand what's happening here. Okay, so Fred DeLory here with Cole Hogan, who's joining me on background as we try to unpack this. Cole, currently a principal at Earnscliffe Strategy, has worked on countless digital campaigns for conservatives across the country, and we'll touch on lots of those, I'm sure. Cole, this video, over 4 million views on Twitter alone, is this real? Like, what are those views? How does this work?
Yeah, so those metrics are different by each platform. Twitter in particular, each impression will count a little bit differently in terms of percentage of the video viewed. So YouTube, it's 25% or more. Twitter's a little bit less, just for it appearing on screen and playing for a moment of time also counts as a view. So I would just cut those in half. But even in doing that, if I go platform for platform and add up, you know, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, wherever else this video is, you know, we're well over 4 million here. And that's like a heavy saturation point for a piece of political content.
It's amazing, right? Like, I can't recall anything that big. And it's organic, right? They haven't put a dollar behind, or have they? Have they put any money behind this other than the production of it?
No, which speaks to the success of it. Usually to get these sort of numbers, you have to put money behind something like this. And to your point, like, they haven't put a dime behind it. So I'm curious to see. You know, I wouldn't chop this down. I wouldn't make a 30-second version. You know, it's this long for a reason.
Right.
So let it cook the way it is and see if it continues to do this, which will probably then justify more versions of stuff like this.
Well, even the first 30 seconds of it, it's like the title is Housing Hell, and it talks about Trudeau creating this problem. Even if the first 30 seconds already that exist in the product seem to hit that point, to make the point.
Yeah, it would be unorthodox, but I would run this as a YouTube pre-roll ad before any video. And, you know, you have the whole 50-minute version there, but the first 30 seconds, first 10, 15 seconds are there, and see if people resonate with it, because they already have with an organic version. And a lot of that is, this is so unprecedented that people are watching it for the first time for the novelty of the fact that it's a 15-minute video about housing policy. It's rare and not very common that a political leader in a party does this. And the thing that I've seen it compared the most to recently is Chrétien's Red Book, which is like the most recent version of, oh, you think this guy is a lightweight or doesn't have enough policy or ideas? Well, here's evidence to the contrary. Here's something for you to chew on.
That's a fascinating take, the Red Book. I never thought of that, where the Liberals were able to show their plan of what they were going to do if they formed government. It's interesting to me to see how we got to this point where the Conservatives have always trailed Liberals in social media since the birth of social media. I remember when Twitter first came out, I was working in communications for the Conservative government at the time. Same with Facebook. There's been a real evolution, but I felt we've always been behind. We've never took it serious as a big part of it. I remember originally in campaign training that we did decades ago was talking about how, like, stay off social media. It's a waste of time politically. And if you're not getting good data, you're not getting good voter. Because back then it was all door to door, voter ID, phone calls as well. ID your vote, get them out. And persuasion was not done through social media because it was just being born, I guess, made sense. But it's changed drastically since then. What do you think Poilievre did to bring it to the forefront? And how has he dominated it so much? You've worked for several leaders and several campaigns. Like, what is Pierre doing different?
Well, I'll tell you, one of the big differences, you know, I designed the digital campaign for Doug Ford in 2018 in Ontario and Jason Kenney in 2019 in Alberta. And those campaigns, a lot of the content that we made, we kept short as possible. You know, we had 10-second versions of ads with footage from rallies of Doug from when he won the leadership with people chanting his name. And that was it. The ad was just, 10 seconds of people chanting Doug's name, probably like a couple thousand people there. But what it did is display momentum. And that's all I wanted to do during the election. I'm not trying to get your email address. I'm not trying to.
And that was the shift, right? That was the first time. Because previously, I remember every time we did anything, it was about you have to get data back or it's useless. But now it shifted then into a persuasion tool, at least for the conservative side.
Yeah. And the difference is Pierre can do both, right? Like he can give you long form policy based content and do the daily back and forth political partisan stuff. But now what Pierre is demonstrating is range, where other political leaders don't really have that range to play in that space.
Right.
And we'll see, I imagine we'll see some form of imitation and other parties will try to implement this. But, you know, this is not entirely new for Pierre either, because if you remember the leadership race, he had like an 8-minute video on inflation. We had like other videos that were talking about Sir Wilfrid Laurier. We had, you know, a variety of videos talking about numerous issues in which he would go into depth. So it isn't new for him, but it's a far cry from normal, typical political leadership races, especially in a general election, where I'm just trying to get to a mass saturation point where you've seen my candidates and my leader numerous times over. So by the time you get to the ballot box, you've seen content from us in numerous places, you know, at least 30 times, and you're familiar with us and you're familiar with the momentum of the candidate.
It's interesting you said about the leadership race. I recall hearing these stories from the Poilievre camp during that race about the YouTube videos he would do and the return he would get in terms of new memberships. You've worked on leadership races. I've worked on, I think, 4 national leadership campaigns and several provincial ones. It's hard to sell memberships, to get people to pay that $10 or $15 to buy a membership. The best way to do it traditionally was always door-to-door, personal networks, building a ground game, talking to people in different ridings, get them to go out and sell memberships, finding single-issue voters, could be dairy farmers or social conservatives, those sorts of things. Within the conservative movement, that was the best way. What Pierre did, I was told, just blew the doors off of that whole system, where he'd put out a video and they would get 10,000 new members would just come in. And the party, or sorry, the campaign at the beginning didn't know how to handle that. They weren't able to do the intake properly. Like, it took them a while to catch up on it because the memberships were just flooding in. So it's interesting how he has developed this this brand and this ability to do this. And I think that he's been working at this. It's not new, right? He's been working at this for many, many years. Do you know where he started at this and where the party was previously?
If I'm looking for a precise indication, I think Poilievre's YouTube account started in 2011. And he's been putting like content out consistently since then, more house stuff in the beginning and then more the leadership type stuff as time goes on. But in terms of like why the party in particular made this shift towards a lot of this stuff, and the reason why Pierre did it too, is imagine how much easier that conversation at the door is when you're trying to sell a membership if they've already looked you up and seen your content.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, Pierre, I saw you on YouTube. Like that's a common refrain, right? Because, you know, as we transition out of, you know, the end of the Liberal government's mandates, people are going to start Googling you more and more, and Pierre's give them tons of content. And there's numbers to support doing this, right? 17 million Canadians watch YouTube on their TV, and when they do, they watch content that's 21 minutes or longer. On Poilievre's YouTube account, the most popular videos are the ones that are 4 minutes long. So they have the data and the information to say, okay, let's keep the content machine burning on top of the daily, you know, partisan stuff that we do. Let's keep doing the long form stuff because people watch it.
The video itself, it was a lot of graphics, a lot of information, Poilievre narrating it. From what I understand from having several conversations with Poilievre's team, is this was driven by him. Like, he wrote this, and Jeff Pierce, which is a fantastic videographer that's done tons of videos for conservatives over the years, is the person who put it all together with him. Do you think, I think we're going to see a lot more of these. I think this is, like you said earlier, this is going to be the new norm where they're going to be doing a lot of these because they're able to break down these issues. And I'm seeing on Twitter, like, people are saying it's propaganda, it's spin. But of course, every political speech is. They're all trying to tell a story, right? And Poilievre is telling a story. And I want to explore this too, down the road with liberals and see what they're doing on this, because the liberals used to dominate this area. Trudeau's, I remember in 2015, dominated social media and has up until now. Where do you think, I'm curious to get your thoughts on Scheer and where he was on this, and then O'Toole on their campaigns versus Poilievre.
Yeah, to me, my impression has always been that opposition is the mother of all invention, and that sort of that's where we see the innovation in terms of digital campaigning.
Right.
Now we're going to see the Liberal Party scramble, and they currently are. Like,
well, they're in opposition now, and they're so far back in the polls. I wonder if they'll get that mentality that.
Well, the day after the housing documentary dropped, I'm always checking the Facebook ad library, and they did a PowerPoint style. Ads, attacking the housing policy, and it's just bullet point, bullet point, bullet point, and it's bringing a knife to a gunfight, right? Like they don't
really.
It's not
even a knife.
That's a generous description for sure, but they're not firing in the same way, so it's going to be tough for them to compete. And how do you really contend with something like that? And you certainly don't do it with replying to a link to the fall economic statement.
Yeah, I saw your tweet on that, LOL, you wrote, and is this your response or something?
Yeah, whose idea was this?
Yes.
I'm still curious.
It was embarrassing, right? Like when you just link a bunch of bureaucratic texts as your response, and it really shows the state of the Liberal Party, I think, in their ability to respond. And I am curious to explore this, because again, the Liberal Party is, they've done very, very well on this, and I don't think that's a sleeping giant that is down for good. I think they'll rise again, and that's why our conservatives will need to be ready. I'm curious in the dangers of this, at the same time, where we have so many candidates now that could just, they have their access to the whole country and the world with their ability to communicate. I remember when back before social media and the birth of it, we were the Conservative Party was very tight on message control of candidates. You couldn't talk to a local reporter without getting national permission from the campaign team. And I stand by that. I think that made perfect sense, because you don't know what's going to impact, what may be an issue in your riding may hurt us in 10 other ridings. So you had to have that. You're part of a team. You need to work as a team. Social media now, I'm seeing this explosion where people are just putting out their own videos. Case in point, I remember a week before the last election in 2021, our candidate in Carleton put out his own video, had nothing, no party branding, nothing to do with the party message, and he went on his own message track, and it went national, and it was Pierre Poilievre who did it. So I'm wondering, is he, like, he's encouraging other conservatives to do this, and is there great risk in going off brand? Because his message was good. He did a great video then, but you run as a team. Each party runs as a team, and there is the risk now of other candidates, I think, going way off message with this.
Yeah, there's a risk in particular of going off terms, even in style of branding. If you design something that looks completely different than what the central campaign is doing, you're potentially confusing voters. In this instance, you'd have to see like what local team on a riding level or an EDA level has the skill set to do that and produce something like that. Out of 338, I'd be hard-pressed to think of the ones that would. The ones that do, it would be minuscule enough that it's not going to get enough attention. Like, that is a unique circumstance in 2021, for sure.
But at the same time, you could just pick up and do a Facebook Live or a Twitter Live and record your own message and push your own thing. The success of the Conservative Party, when we were at our most successful, was when we were disciplined and shared one narrative, one message. And I just wonder, I'm going to be curious what the party puts in place with the war room. They're going to put in the rules for candidates. Are they going to make them review videos before they put them out? Therefore, there will be no lives. You can't do live. That's reviewed by party staff.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see if they just focus on like, all right, let's just let Pierre's stuff do the talking. And, that might be an edict from the central campaign.
And that would be a good, if they do that, that makes sense, right? Because his stuff is resonating and it's high caliber stuff. But again, Poilievre himself has set the precedent that you can just do your own thing if you want.
Yeah, I think, with potentially a victory around the corner, I think that edict will land better than in other circumstances.
Victory certainly unites and makes people much more disciplined.
Yeah, absolutely. But I wouldn't discourage, I wouldn't discourage local campaigns. If you have something you want to target to your riding and your postal code and you're staying within party brand and message, and, the party has had a look or knows that you are a trusted creator in that regard, then I'd say go for it. Like, localize, like, special tailored content to your writing or a particular issue that's still within the, you know, conservative platform sphere, then I'd say go for it.
What else, what have you seen? I'm curious what you've seen that is comparable to this, like working on other leadership campaigns in terms of certain messages or things that have popped as big as this video. Is there anything that, that obviously this is the biggest, you can't, there's nothing like that compares to it, but the biggest that you've seen pop from your side of things?
Yeah, there's, well, there's no 15 minute examples, I'll tell you that.
Right.
But there's a lot of 30 second ones. Like the For the People theme song, the song that we had in the 2018 campaign.
Right. Your point on that earlier about building momentum, that felt like, I think that was an interesting narrative, and maybe the psyche of voters was, I was the director of field operations for the Ford campaign then.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt like a momentum campaign. It was like we were just marching towards victory. And there was nothing the Liberals could do. They had press conferences every day. They tried to throw mud every day, and nothing was landing or sticking at all. And I think maybe part of the narrative was just we were going to win. You know, they were in power for, what, 13, 15 years? 15 years at this point.
Yeah.
So change election is tough to run against.
Yeah, no kidding. We had that audio prompt, though, which was, well, great in radio in particular. We were running ads on Spotify. We had the ads on Xbox Live. We were a whole bunch of places that
right,
political
Xbox
parties
Live.
Hadn't
I remember
been.
That. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So we had a lot of momentum in that regard, and we had a lot of good visuals of Doug Ford. Like, there's, everyone's going up to the guy and hugging him. People are making contact with him nonstop. There's crowds cheering his name. Momentum was truly on our side for that, and it made content so easy to make. Because I don't need to make much of an argument at that point. I just need to display that momentum, and it was really easy to do with Doug.
So on that, looking at this video and the reach it's gotten and how it's being talked about, even the earned media, like going back, I remember just a couple of years ago, when an opposition leader wants to make news, he or she has to have a press conference and put out a whole policy with a backgrounder and all this information, all thought out and mapped out, and then take tons of questions from the media and answer them. And then maybe they get a headline or two, and they might get clipped on the evening news if it's a really good policy. And that door has been blown off. Like, we don't need to see that crap anymore, because it was so much work and very little impact. And I'm interested to get your thoughts on this. The actual dollar value in what this video is. If I was running a campaign, and I made obviously it's 15 minutes, but let's say it's 30 seconds or 1 minute or 2 minute ad. What would it cost me to run that on the air on CTV, CBC, Global, and all the other specialty channels in Canada to get a big enough bump? I'm thinking, like, this is a multi-million dollar ad that they were able to produce, whatever it cost them. I don't know what the production cost was, but whatever it was incredibly valuable given the return. But I think this is worth millions of dollars in terms of free advertising. Millions of dollars.
The biggest investment is time. This undoubtedly took a few months to put together, maybe about 8 weeks. And you know,
I don't even actually. I'll challenge you on that, because I'm not so sure.
Okay.
Because Polyev knows this issue well. He could write scripts. He's like, he is a machine of this. And I've worked with Jeff Pierce a lot over the years. He could whip this stuff together quickly. I bet you it wasn't months. I bet you this was weeks. And I bet you we could see these guys pounding out a lot of stuff quickly as they discover how big of a thing this is.
Oh, for sure. I think from concept to actually posting it, I think there was a lot of tweaks along the way, and Polyev was definitely involved personally. And then think of every animation you have to do there. So here's a bar chair here that I have to move and move keyframes for in After Effects. And that's Jeff's work, right?
Right.
So he'll be doing that over and over and over again, and his computer will basically be on fire trying to process all these animations. And that's what takes time.
Yes. And I've, again, having worked with Jeff, he's worked for Harper, Scheer, O'Toole, and Polyev, doing digital. He was working speechwriting for Harper, and he worked in digital for Scheer, O'Toole, and now Polyev. And he can bang out a great product quickly. He's been doing lots of videos of Andrew Scheer, Shannon Stubb, Brandon Leslie, Chris Workington, Senator Batters, and it's Jeff Pierce that are doing these videos. So he's putting these things together and putting out a great product that's getting tons of views.
Jeff is an undeniable talent too. The speed at which he works and the quality content that he puts out, we will definitely see a lot more of these. With the results we've seen in terms of how much earned media this product has resulted in and how many views it's gotten, they have no reason to do it again. And maybe this will be the platform. Maybe the platform will be all video. Right.
Well, when Polyev launched his leadership campaign, right, he had that off that that desk in his home office, mm-hmm. where he launched it, where he recorded a video announcing he was running, because he's able to hit so many people. And again, he is the biggest news network in Canada, and it's unfiltered. It's his message, right directly to Canadians. And I keep seeing this Liberal government keep just making announcements. They're doing stuff. They're getting little clips here and there. And it's I find it, and to your point earlier about how, what was it? Opposition is the best innovator.
Yeah, opposition is the mother of invention.
The mother of invention. Opposition is the mother of invention. That's a great line. And you see that across the board. I remember that like in the Harper years when we were in opposition, how we got really good at ground game and built this up and we figured out our narrative, and storytelling was our big part of our success. And then the Liberals in 15 were able to really punch through with social media at the time and their narrative. And now here we are at another cycle change.
Yeah, the up-close visuals in particular are something that the Liberals were really good at. Like, you had a photogenic, good-looking guy that you can put in your ads and put front and center, do a lot of vertical video. And, you know, there was just a change message there, too. Like, if the public's already behind you, then you're running a lot of online content and ads with a total, you know, swing in terms of the public mood, and you look like you represent that, then a lot of the digital advertising, the content does the work. The photos, the videos, they do a lot of the work for you.
So the Liberals right now, they don't have a story. They don't have a narrative. Like, that's very clear if they get it. Trudeau's reach, though, is massive, right? Like, he has, like, significantly more followers on all the social media platforms. And I remember when I ran Aaron O'Toole's campaign, very frustrated that, you know, Aaron was only leader for a short time before we were thrown right into an election. We couldn't grow anything, and we're up against this behemoth. Polyev is, his followers are much smaller in terms of his, you know, the people who follow his Twitter, his social media, his Facebook, Instagram, whatever. How is it, though, that is it just that he's just using it, right? He's just being aggressive and sending the same consistent message, and that's why it's more engagement, because Trudeau's engagement is very low.
Yeah, I think it's a quality versus quantity thing, and with Polyev, you're getting both, and right. You're getting a variety.
Right, because so he's pushed out several times a day. He is posting stuff.
Yeah, you're getting high-quality short-form and long-form content. So whatever you're looking for, if, you know, the stuff just comes across your feed on a day-to-day basis, okay, that's fine. If you want, you know, the 15-minute, 10-minute video on YouTube while you're scrolling through stuff, you know, usually I'd think that person's a unique individual. It seems to be more and more so that they're not. Every person that I encountered in the prairies back home in Saskatoon would tell me that they found out about Pierre through YouTube. Right. They were like searching for Canadian political content. He just happened to be there first.
Right.
So this was a platform. Like, the Liberal Party of Canada YouTube account was started in 2007, 2008, something like that. And, you know, there wasn't, like, there's an opportunity there for you to start early and keep creating and fostering an audience online, but you have to feed the beast. Pierre's been feeding the beast for, like, a decade plus.
Right.
So now there's a built-in audience. And something that was very interesting during the leadership race is on Facebook, as your organic audience grows and as you run ads, I can target lookalike audiences.
Right.
So the people that are looking and engaging with your content, I can go over into the Venn diagram of the next group of people who share the same sort of online attributes. And I can do this through the Google Ad Network too. It's called Affinity Audiences on that platform. But then I'm reaching the next group over of people. So an online user that shares certain attributes that like and engage with Pierre Polyev videos, you know, the algorithm, Facebook, and on the Google Ad Network, which is search display and YouTube, can find the next group of people that are most likely to click on that ad, click through to the website, give their email, and then potentially donate down the road.
So on that point, on the donate thing, it's interesting where the Conservative Party has always had a financial advantage over the Liberals, where we raise so much more money. But back during the past leaders, what do you do with that money? It's paid advertising. It's the odd, like, television is very expensive. It's radio. It's mail outs. It's really, that's it, right? And maybe a bigger ground game, like hiring more regional organizers. But now, with the Conservatives dominating financially, continuing to, they could put that money more effectively into their digital operations, right? They could go out there and target more. That gives them an even increased, again, the Liberals do not raise that the same number of dollars that the Conservatives do, which continues to just, I think, create a more momentum for the Conservatives.
Look at how long, like, Pierre has been sort of building this online audience for, and then in turn, how quickly you're able to build a significant email address. Like, it was a long time before even a particular donor ask went out, because you don't need to do that right away. All I need is to continue to capture and build an audience. Then I can make that ask down the road. You know, during the Ontario PC leadership that Doug won, they only ever asked for a dollar. They never asked for more than a dollar, and they never needed to. And people were more than willing to give a dollar over and over
again.
And
it was a cute thing to do as well, right? And I ran the leadership campaign against Doug for Christine Elliott, and it was super annoying when they were doing that. it was, you know, they were like man of the people, and it was tough to combat that. So it was a part of the message too, right? Not just asking for money and doing it successfully, but yeah, it was... So Justin Trudeau has a massive audience that's much bigger than Poilievre's, not using it effectively. If they get a narrative together and get the right digital strategy, can they start? Do you think they can start doing this? I think they can. I think the problem they have is they've been in government so long, they're thinking like they're in government and they're not fighting the next election like Poilievre is, right? They're and again, that's the burden of governing. They have to govern for the next 2 years. But I think it's there for Trudeau at least make this race competitive if they would take the time to figure out their story and then start pushing it. Not using government assets. They have to use Liberal Party assets to do it and push it. But like, and I think that's the difference with Poilievre right now. He can wake up every day and just do nothing but this, right? And I believe all the tweets we see from Poilievre, Pierre Poilievre has written. These aren't staff writing these. This is Pierre Paul, and I've known this guy for 20 years, right? He is very meticulous. He ensures it's accurate when it goes out, and he puts the time into it. And I bet you it's him doing it. And understand, you know, Trudeau can't do that because he's governing. But I think if he shifts into campaign mode, if Trudeau does, he could compete, and this race could tighten up.
Yeah, my question would be then, on what issue would he do something similar to the 15-minute housing?
That's tough, though, when you're government, right? That's the problem.
Yeah.
Where when you're the opposition, you can just hammer on any issue, whatever the faults are. It's hard to say, hey, this is a great story. You should watch this because things are so good. That's hard because no one buys that.
Yeah, and it would have to be like policy.
Maybe he needs to hire some Hallmark channel producers and have those folks like paint that rosy picture, because people do love the Hallmark channel, right?
Yeah.
You know, Poilievre is writing for Scream on Crave, and what Trudeau, maybe he needs his Hallmark.
Well, I think there's two plays. You can either like make another image play, which people might be kind of tired of by 2024, 2025. But I think if you try to make a substantive policy play, I look at the polling and I think, on what issue does the Liberal Party do this? They don't really have the same bandwidth and leeway to do what Poilievre is here. And I think housing was chosen for a particular reason. More and more we see polling that these issues are the ones on which Canadians trust the Conservatives to govern.
Right.
What issue would the Liberals pick to do something similar on?
I don't know if I'd even do issue. I think I would do a narrative, an overarching message why we, if I was a Liberal, so we need to continue to do this, and where the Conservatives will change all of this. I think that's what they need to do.
Yeah, I think if, like, you know, they were most trusted to govern on the environment and climate change.
But most trusted, that's changed. Yeah, exactly. But they need it. Yeah, that's why they need a whole narrative that they need to push.
Yeah,
but you're right. They're losing on, even environment is tightening up, which just means to me they're not telling any story at all.
Yeah, from what point do they start? Like, I think about this for the NDP as well. What foot, and they are even in an even worse position for something like this. But one, the content will be ill-received, and two, no one's going to believe you. There's a big credibility issue there. So if you do an
that's
image...
That's tough, right? You can't say, hey, yeah.
If you do an image play, you're kind of screwed. And if you go policy heavy, you're like, well, this only comes after, you know, the housing documentary. So now they're playing catch-up, and that has a credibility issue there as well.
So... There's a column in the Globe and Mail from Gary Mason. I'll read you the headline. It says, Polyev's Housing Hell video offers a lousy dime store analysis of our housing crisis. And I saw lots of press gallery journalists retweeting it and pushing it out. I'm of the view, and I'd like to get your thoughts on this, I'm of the view that it's his message. It doesn't matter what the stats and all this, how it lines up. It's he's reaching a wider audience than anyone else right now. He's pushing it. And what are your thoughts on this? Does it matter?
Well, as a loyal Western Canadian, I have to sort of lambast the Laurentian outpost from BC for the Globe and Mail, Gary Mason. I don't think Gary's written a favorable word about a Westerner or a conservative in years. So Gary Mason aside, I think that the substance of the issue is sort of like I've seen bits and pieces in particular from a lot of people online where it's like, okay, he lost me on this, but he had me back on this. There's a lot of people who viewed the video saying like, all right, you know, there is some stuff that I liked and some stuff I didn't like. And I think at the end of the day, the fact that he has created, you know, made this 15-minute documentary lends itself credence for the fact that he just did it. If there's issues with the substance matter, it was like, well, where's your content? Where's your product of similar depth?
I think as someone who really enjoys writing, I think the most powerful part of all of this is the two words, the description, the name of the video, Housing Hell. Right there, that I think just drives it home, right? So even whatever how the video looks or whatever, you can nitpick different parts of it. But when you're driving that message, I think that hits home. All right. So Cole, I'm a big professional wrestling fan. I know you are too. I feel, and I've talked to other people about this, about how it feels like politics is a lot like wrestling. And I think there's a lot linked here. And I'd like to explore this. So Pierre Poilievre's video has millions and millions of views. CM Punk came back to wrestling recently and 71 million views on social media. Is there a correlation between professional wrestling and politics?
Absolutely there is. The difference between the two, I would say, well, especially politics and the WWE, the WWE is global and puts out a massive amount of content on a daily basis.
Like Pierre Poilievre.
Yeah, they have a daily show on Mondays, Fridays. They have one on Wednesday as well, and they have a monthly show.
NXT, they have their junior division,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and they had a recent show in Saudi Arabia. So they're like a traveling show that put out nonstop, high-quality, like high-definition content on all channels. CM Punk's return, I can't think of a Canadian equivalent that would be, like, you have to think of someone who was previously popular, came back, and whose return is widely significant. I don't know what the equivalent would be, but...
I disagree. I think CM Punk's always been popular. He just hasn't been there. I think the Poilievre video, in the terms of its reach and how it's popped, is similar. He got the same pop when he came out. Like, people, when CM Punk, before he came out, there was the rumors he was coming, and I watched Survivor Series just to see if he would come, and I was disappointed he didn't come. And then the show ended, and then he popped out. Then they came, and it felt like the same with the Poilievre, because I was told early Saturday morning the Poilievre video is going to drop, and it's going to be amazing, and I was waiting in hours. And then, as you said, the French video came out, and I'm like, okay, this is interesting. Where's the English one? And hours later, that popped. So it feels like a similar script.
Yeah, I think, it's pretty similar. Like, well, I also watched Survivor Series. And, you know, they kept teasing whether or not Randy Orton was coming back at the end of it. He's like, oh, I don't know if Randy's here.
And he didn't come
until
he did.
And then he appeared at the
end.
And
disappointed us, which was sad for Randy Orton.
Like, oh, is Randy Orton not coming back? Then at the end of the video, at the end of the Survivor Series, Randy's obviously there. But they teased it, which diverted from... CM Punk, and I think, you know, you published the French video first. Journalists were clamoring for the English video. They're
right.
Like, where's
so
the English
it was a strategic move. So the French video was the Randy Orton.
Yes.
Wow.
The French 15-minute housing policy documentary that Pierre Poilievre put out was similar
which
to
was
Randy
still huge.
Orton's debut
and
Randy, at Survivor Series.
Randy Orton's return is still a big deal. He's
of
one
course.
Of the greatest. He's the 15-time WWE World Champion.
Yeah, there's a parallel there, and the content is interesting to put out. But if I was looking to, in terms of production levels and breadth of content, you know, a politician could do a lot worse than following the WWE model.
So on that front, if the Conservative Party of Canada is currently the WWE, Is the Liberal Party AEW or Impact Wrestling or the NWA? Where are they?
I think the Liberal Party is former stage WCW, where they...
Beautiful. Former stage WCW. Perfect. Perfect.
Where they were competitive and
they were great.
They won for a while.
83 weeks. They won. They beat WWE 83 straight weeks,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And then they dipped and they never came back.
Yeah, that might be the case.
That's
here, because if I look at the last year or two of polling, it's been a while since the Liberals had a dominant lead, so maybe that's the 82-83 weeks right there for WCW. I wonder what the audience is for this content, the wrestling political crossover content, but I'm here for it.
It's exact same.
100% Venn diagram overlap.
All right, Cole, look, thanks a lot for having this discussion. Love talking politics and a little bit of wrestling mixed in. You're an expert on both, but you're also out there in the political commentary a lot, seeing you quoted out there and you're pushing out lots of social media. Where can folks find you if they're interested in seeing more of you?
So you can find me on Twitter at Cole W. Hogan, also on Facebook and LinkedIn at Cole W. Hogan. With the housing documentary and many other things, I'm always talking about what's new and innovative in the digital space, so give me a follow there and you'll see all my commentary and more.
And I can't say enough about how quick you are on the issues and how insightful your commentary is. So strongly recommend people to follow you. But great having you here. Thanks for joining us. And we'll see you next time on Background.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks so much for listening in. This was a really fun chat with Cole. We talked politics, a little bit of wrestling mixed in there, which I didn't quite expect. I didn't think we'd go down that road. I wasn't sure how I'd work it in. Always wanted to. So happy that we were able to do that. Please tune in next week. And don't forget to like and subscribe to On Background wherever you get your podcasts. And send me an email at onbackground@ipolitics.ca.